As we continue in Jesus' Passion Week, turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 14, verses 26 through 31. Mark chapter 14, 26 through 31. One of the themes that we have seen as we have gone through the book of Mark is the authority of Jesus throughout the book. Jesus knows all the events concerning his earthly ministry. Events that had been established before the foundation of the earth. Events that have been implemented and carried out to the fulfillment of Scripture. He shared much of this with his disciples. And as we have seen, they heard him speak, but were not sure if they were really listening or how much they were paying attention. Now, I can only imagine that when they first started on this trek with Jesus, that they listened to every word that came out of his mouth. But then they started achieving so much success, if you will. Miracle after miracle after miracle they were seeing, they were part of. Jesus was preaching the same message over and over and over again, depending upon the crowds that he was with. We know how people are. After a while, you get used to those kind of things, and you begin to take them for granted, and maybe even become complacent. They confessed that Jesus was the Son of the living God, but as we've seen over the course of this last month, they don't call him Lord. They call him teacher, or they call him rabbi. They don't believe what he says. They treat him as if he's just one of the 12. He's just a man. So they weren't really paying attention. Over and over again, we've seen how they haven't been focused on what Jesus was telling them, which leads them to today, where we'll see denials all around. So read with me Mark 14, verses 26 through 31. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter.' But after I'm raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same. Pray with me. Father, your word continues to remind us, all of us, of our hard hearts and our lack of belief and our lack of understanding and our unwillingness to listen. At the same time, Father, your word continues to remind us of your great provision, your great salvation, the great hope that is found only in you, and we rejoice in that. So we pray that your Spirit would speak to our hearts today through this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is Palm Sunday. We haven't done a lot of fanfare and such for the day, but this is Palm Sunday. It was weeks ago now that we were in Mark 11 and we talked about Jesus' triumphal entry, where the crowds cheered him, just like the scriptures had said they would. And now, and during this time of the week, towards the end of the week, the day before Jesus is crucified, how many have, the tide has begun to turn, with even one of the 12, Judas, setting out to betray him. A betrayal that would take place soon enough. Again, just as the scriptures said it would. But that's all past them at this point, as far as they're concerned. Because they've just finished the meal. And they finished it on a high note, singing a hymn. That hymn was a composite of Psalm 116 and through 118. They probably were also wondering why Jesus didn't drink that fourth cup at the end of the Passover meal. But like so many times, when Jesus has said something or done something, they didn't ask. Because they were still trying to figure out this whole Lord's Supper thing. So different from the Passover. But we'll look at them in verse 26, what they're doing. And then we're going to see Jesus drop yet another bombshell. He's done that already this chapter. And then we're going to look at Peter, how Peter represents the others as well as ourselves. So the scripture says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. When Jesus and his disciples had gotten up to go to Gethsemane, Psalm 118 was on their lips. While Psalm 118 is not strictly a messianic psalm, we see parts of that psalm in the Gospels and throughout the New Testament being referred to. Speaking of Palm Sunday, we hear these words, Lord, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That Lord, save us, is the word that we all know so well. Hosanna. Hosanna to the King. Hosanna to the Son of David. That's there. We also see within that text some other familiar words that Jesus will repeat, that will be repeated elsewhere in the New Testament as well. He's been focusing his disciples on his death and resurrection. And on Psalm 118, it says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. He will become the cornerstone when he is resurrected, establishing forever his church and our eventual resurrection. In fact, two other verses in Psalm 118 speak of this specific time, maybe even just the first Easter morning, when it says, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's in the context of the other passages that speak specifically to Palm Sunday and to Easter. In fact, as I said, Jesus uses these words in his teaching. The disciples will use them later. But did they understand? Did they recognize those sections within that hymns that spoke specifically to this time that Jesus has been talking to them about his death and his resurrection, his betrayal, his death and resurrection? Did they recognize those things? Well, Jesus did. But just like us, if we've been singing the same hymn all of our life, how many of us actually stop to consider the words? The hymns of the church are full of deep theology, especially the older hymns, but even the ones that Troy picks out for us for our newer hymns. Deep theology that needs to be considered. When was the last time you took a hymn or took a psalm from the Psalter and used that for your meditation? We're so used to singing whatever's in the bulletin. When was the last time we thought about what we were singing, or even how it's connected to the rest of the service? Well, like I said, my guess is they didn't see the connections either, because they'd sang these songs, all of their life. From the time they were little, they sang, and Psalm 118 was on their lips as they got to go to a familiar place, a place where they went to pray often, a place where they went to rest when the weather was good. But Jesus knew that these words of Psalm 118 were just about to be fulfilled. And those words would have given him comfort in the face of his hardest distress and suffering. For we know how important the Psalms were to Jesus. He even quotes them from the cross. But whether they receive Jesus' bombshell on the way to the Mount of Olives or after, Jesus does in fact deliver yet another bombshell. Verse 27 and 28. Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I'm raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Now, Jesus has to tell them what was written in Scripture, just like he had told them about Judas's betrayal, though they didn't capture and understand. In fact, they won't completely understand what Jesus is talking about concerning his death and resurrection until after his ascension and the Spirit comes upon them to remind them of all things, just as Jesus said. Now, this is true for us as well. We must look to the Spirit. We must pray to the Spirit for understanding and clarity concerning the Scriptures. We pray to the Spirit as we're reading the Scriptures, both of which are powerful, not just to our salvation, but to our daily walk. And then we also have the church as well to aid and help us understand what's written there. And yet, for the apostles, they seem to just miss what was going on around them. Jesus had to tell them in the same way because it was part of Scripture, as it is written, what had been foretold. And he says, "You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." These come from the prophet Zechariah. But where do they come from first? Who gave them to the prophet Zechariah? Who specifically in the Godhead? We don't stop and think about this. Jesus is the Word. These are Jesus' words that were given to Zechariah in the context of something else. But Jesus knew what they were going to represent in the future. You will all fall away. It is written, I shall strike the shepherd. Jesus knew who the shepherd of that prophecy was. Him. He was talking about himself. God the Father would strike the shepherd, and his sheep will scatter. The Scripture would be fulfilled. Do you see, we need to understand what we need to understand about the Word of God is that these are the Godhead's words. These are Jesus' words for us, to us. They are his infallible word. We need to believe that. And it's one thing to say you believe it. It's another thing to live as if it's true. That's one of the key problems within the church today, is that we pick and choose what we want to believe. Jesus knew his disciples would abandon him. He knew himself to be the shepherd for whom the prophet spoke. And of course, that wasn't the first time that this was spoken of. 150 years before that, from Isaiah, says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we must esteem him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted." But even with these prophecies in place, even with telling his disciples that they would all fall away, that they would all be scattered, just like Jesus, and you got to love this, he doesn't leave them hanging there. Did you hear the words that came after you all fall away? I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Did you hear the words that came next, beginning with that three-letter word that I've constantly pointed out? But after I'm raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Even though you will all fall away, even though you will all abandon me, you are not lost. Jesus says, I will die. And he says, I will rise again. And he says that for them, and he says that for us. Then they can meet him in Galilee at the place they already knew. Did you hear those last words? That's Jesus' grace to us. Or was it the bombshell that enabled them not to hear the last words? Can we see and experience God's grace in the midst of darkness, in the midst of the life's valleys, or do we just get bitter and confused because things aren't happening at the speed and in the way that we want? Jesus told them ahead of time that he would rise and that they were to meet him. And if you remember, it took the women to remind them on Easter morning what Jesus had said. And it's at that moment that they begin to put together the pieces concerning Jesus' death and resurrection. But for now, there's Peter to deal with. There's Peter to deal with. Peter is so much like us. Peter's general characteristic is to react rather than to respond. And he reacts to the words of Jesus as if they're not true. Even though all of them, they all will fall away. I will not. He's throwing all of his brothers under the bus. But I will not fall away. Once again, he's disbelieving God. It is written. And his word again. How often do we act like this? We read something in the word and we say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with me. Oh, we read a conviction that says you must do this. Well, that was for them. I hope you're honest and say, every day. Sometimes all day long. Peter's reaction sets him up for the fall that he will have to live with all the days of his life. Luke's gospel gives us a bit more concerning this conversation. After Peter basically calls Jesus a liar, Jesus says to Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like a wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you turn again, strengthen your brothers. With this, Peter should have been extremely encouraged. Jesus was talking to his dear friend. Simon, Simon, a cosmic coup had been attempted upon his soul. But Jesus had prayed, stopping the coup. He said that he prayed that Jesus, that Peter's faith may not fail. Now think about that. the God of the universe, the God who saved Peter, the God who saves us, says, I prayed that your faith may not fail. What does that mean? Well, when God says something, it happens. So he's guaranteeing that Peter's faith will never fail. Now, Jesus is our intercessor before the Father, going before the Father on our behalf, along with the Holy Spirit, who's also intercedes on our behalf. Both of these are praying for us before the Father, which guarantees that our faith, the faith of his children, will never fail. But Peter wasn't listening to the encouragement, was he? All he heard was that he would fall away. He's still trying to get his shot in. So Peter says to him, Lord, I'm ready to go to you, both to prison and to death. That's in the Luke text. And Jesus says to him back in our Mark text, truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But Peter says emphatically, in other words, these are fighting words to Peter. He's red-faced and he's yelling this stuff. If I must die with you, I will never, never deny you. And what did the others say? They all agreed. Really? For the second time in these few verses, Peter is calling his Lord a liar. These are some of the worst denials in Scripture. Jesus had told him that he would fall away. And Peter says, not me, maybe them, but not me. Then Jesus tells him that he's going to deny him. Not once, not twice, but three times. And Peter says to him, in the most disrespectful of tones, I will never deny you. Calling Jesus a liar. I've said this before, but I think it's important for us to see how they really see Jesus at this point, just as a man. Jesus' word had raised the dead. Jesus' word had healed the sick and possessed. Jesus has healed the blind and the deaf, just as the scriptures had said, and yet they still don't believe him when he says these things. This is not the first time, of course. We've gone through this before. They didn't hear what was coming. They didn't hear the deliverance. They didn't hear the forgiveness. They didn't hear the mission, pre-commission. And when you have turned, strengthen your brothers. After I'm raised, I will go before you to Galilee. They didn't hear those things because they weren't believing who Jesus really was. I'm not saying they're not believers, but at that point in time, they weren't believing Jesus, the one that they had called the Son of the Living God. They would not submit. They would not believe. They only denied. They'd already fallen away. The moment they all agreed with Peter, they fell away from Jesus, and he was still in their presence. Does this obstinate sound familiar to you? It does to me. How many times do we get so convinced of our own truth that we refuse to believe something else, even when it's right in front of us? Even when it's being pointed out to us by someone else. Maybe that's the hardest part, especially when it's being pointed out by somebody else. Or when we will told we will have to endure a certain hardship that we don't want to endure. The scriptures tell us there's a light at the end of the tunnel if we're looking up. But at the moment, we're looking at our toes or we're looking at our belly button.
Has Satan so convinced you of your unworthiness that you deny the truth that Christ will never let your faith completely fail? See, that's how it works with Satan. He convinces us of our unworthiness because half of that's true. But we forget the work of Christ because we're not really sure how powerful he is. And you say, well, preacher, that sounds simple, silly, because we wouldn't be a church if we didn't believe that. Well, we don't, because we certainly don't act that way. I know on any given day, I know where my heart is. I know where my struggles are. Because I think that I'm unworthy. And on one level, I am. But that's not what motivates. That's not what drives. Because Christ is in me. I am worthy in Christ. And he has promised, I will never lose my faith. Because he's praying for me every day. Him and the Spirit interceding on our behalf. Even in our own lives, there's enough denial to go around. Jesus knows this. It's been all determined before the foundation of the world within the Godhead. In this case, he's making sure that it's carried out to the cross and then after through his resurrection. There's no place else in Scripture where his authority will be made known as strong as it is in these next couple of days. But there's nowhere else in Scripture where his believers, his followers deny his authority like there will be in this moment. The denial of Jesus reveals the struggle for faith that Jesus prays to preserve. And as I said before, if the God of all the universe prays to preserve something, it's guaranteed. But that doesn't mean there's not going to be crises of faith in our life. The question is, will we deny him in the midst of those crises? Or will we listen? Will we repent? Will we submit to his will even in the midst of trouble? For being in his will, even in darkness, is to know that our faith will not fail. And we can lift our eyes and see the light. But it's also to know that the Lord has done this. And that no matter what, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Which will ultimately keep us from denials. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for your word. A word that continues to remind us in this Easter week of how important it is to be focused on you, not ourselves. To be focused on your authority, your sovereignty, your providence. Because it answers all the questions that we struggle with in life. It strengthens us from the weakness of unbelief. As the man said, I believe, help my unbelief. Every day, you and the Spirit intercede for us for that purpose. If we would only believe it. So, Father, strengthen us. That we might believe and act accordingly rather than deny the truth that you tell us within the Word. In Jesus' name.